Welcome, everybody. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Graham from Gold Now, formerly from Gold Now, actually. Graham, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Vinnie. Good to be back.
Yeah, it's been like almost a year or something since I last chatted with you, bro.
Oh, it's just too long. We should have got together before now, that's for sure.
If you say so. What have you been up to, mate? I see that you're looking a hell of a lot healthier than I saw you last time, mate. You got like really good skin, and you appear to have lost a significant amount of weight and stuff. What's going on, man?
Yeah, Vinny, I've discovered that being fat and ugly is not a good look for anybody. You understand what I'm talking about?
Oh my God, we just offended all the fat ugly people that listen to the show.
There's no fat ugly people surely that listen to the show. Oh my goodness.
Well, we could never be too sure.
I lost a lot of weight using stem cell nutrition. I'm very happy about it. I'm not happy about having closed down Gold Now, though, let me tell you. I'm not happy about that. I'm extremely happy about Edward Snowden. And I'm not so happy about the fact that I now realise I've been spied on for the last dozen years. And I'm still not sure exactly what I do on the internet is private or what isn't private. I have no clue. I don't know.
Here's the assumption. Okay. You've heard of Project Echelon, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So you know. If you know about Project Echelon, you know that everything you do is surveilled. Everything. Every text message, every email, every Facebook post, everything. Every form of electronic communication taken automatically without a warrant and stored in data somewhere, red flagged for analysis. And if they've got some kind of special interest in you because you exposed scumbaggery or refused to get a slave job or something like that, then they keep a little file on you. So, you know, now you don't have to worry. You know you're being surveilled. You don't have to be confused about it.
Do you know what? That's the most healthy attitude I think you can take. I think everyone's got to assume that they're being surveilled, and that's the way it is now. And the good news about that is that you can do things, and you can plan things, and you can make things, and you can generate things, and you can sort your life out in such a way to minimise that surveillance, on you. So it's kind of like all the fear has gone out of it, and anybody that's in any way dodgy or in any way kind of fraudulent, dodgy, or doing something just very bad, then they know they're going to get caught sooner or later. But I think it depends on what government, what side of the government they're on at the time. I don't know. It doesn't seem to work with normal people. Normal people are out there. They're nice people, you know, like you and me. We're nice people, aren't we, Vinny? We're very nice people.
Allegedly.
So the issue is that you're a bit of a stirrer. I mean, you know, I'm a stirrer too, but,
The difference between me and you is I publish everything that I do, so it doesn't really matter whether or not they spy on me because they could just watch my YouTube channel like everybody else, bro. You know, I say let them watch, you know. If you're going to watch me, I'll show you some stuff that will freak you out. I'll show us in front of the Child, Youth and Family Services offices with a 100-watt megaphone with two other activists that have exposed that you've got pedophiles and frickin' methamphetamine dealers working in your office, okay? You want to watch that, boy? We'll do that.
Well, it depends on who they know, whether they're going to get away with it. You know what I'm saying? If they're on the right side of the tracks, they're going to get away with it. And if they're not, they won't. And that's the bottom line, you know. But I'm very happy in a way that I now know what Edward Snowden told me. And I just assume everything's being tracked. And it's the same thing that for me, though, that I felt like I had my ways and methods and things that I did that, you know, I thought, you know, I wasn't doing anything wrong, by the way. I don't do things wrong. But, you know, I was doing things in such a way that I thought that I was private. You know, I now realize that, you know, I was just joking myself and just completely, you know, what was I thinking? You know, and I could just see the various departments laughing at my attempts to stay private. And everything I did, which was, you know, everything I did, which is everything I did, was like subject to public scrutiny. Well, certainly by the powers that be, the scrutiny, the guys that want to, you know, look at me or look at what I'm doing and what have you. See, I've got no fear about going on the internet now with my face and my camera. I don't care. I just don't care. You know, I think if you're targeted, you're targeted. That's it. If you're not targeted, you won't be. And who knows what the criteria is for that. Certainly being a criminal doesn't make you a target. There's other things that make you a target.
No, that makes you an employee. Oh, mate, this guy's a criminal. We should give him a job, mate. He is. It'd actually be something that I wonder. Wait a second. Actually, the United States police force is actually doing that now. They're actively looking for violent criminals to recruit.
Oh, okay. You know, I thought, like, I applied for the job once with the government and I didn't qualify because, you know, I think I smoked marijuana back when I was 16 and therefore that disqualified me for a job with the government. I don't smoke marijuana now, by the way. That's by choice. I would if I wanted to. I've got nothing against it. In fact, I think it's healthier than smoking cigarettes. But I don't smoke marijuana now. I don't want to. I don't need to. I think that people, if they want to, they should have the right to do that. Anyway, I don't know how I got on that stupid subject.
Well, you know, this is just the old paranoia of the government. And really, I think it's quite interesting about open-mindedness. And allegedly, that's what cannabis is really capable of doing, is keeping people open-minded. It stops them from being closed-minded to a large degree. It gives them more cannabinoids within their system, which allows them to evolve. It's in fact kind of the building blocks of all your cells and everything are in fact endocannabinoids, cannabinoids from within. And so people who haven't learned anything for the last 20 years are cannabinoid deficient, allegedly. Oh. You know,
I wouldn't know about that. I used to smoke dope because I used to enjoy it, but I.
Well, there's a reason why people enjoy things is because it's actually not that bad for you in a lot of cases. But, you know, anyway. What I find interesting is that they'll kick you out for having smoked weed like 20 years ago. Why didn't they kick Bill Clinton out of the presidency? Why didn't they kick George W. Bush out of the presidency for driving drunk? Well, I mean, like, well, you're applying for a government department job. What kind of department job was it?
I can't remember now.
Who cares? Who cares? They're all freaking saving it, you know.
I was just going for a job. I just wanted to make some money, you know, buy some food for the kids. You know what I mean? Actually, no. It was before I got married. It was years before I got married. Anyway. Yeah.
Well, this reminds me of my mate Gavin. He tried to apply for a job for the Australian police, and he had a really high IQ, so he failed because he got too many of the questions right. And they said, "Oh, sorry, you're too intelligent to be a cop. Get out of here."
I applied for a job at the Australian Police back in 1975.
Yeah,
I just wanted a job. I thought I'd be the smart in the world, so I told them that. I went for the interview, and the sergeant said to me, "You're a half inch under height." In those days, you had to be 5'8", and I was 5'7½". And he said, "You're too short." And I said, "By how much?" He said, "Half an inch." I said, "Well, look, let me sit the test, Sergeant." I said, I'd be the smartest copper in the force. Let me tell you, I'd be up there, right up there. No one would be smarter than me." He said, you cheeky bugger. He said, "All right, I'll let you sit the entrance exam." Anyway, about a month later, he called me back and he said, "Look," he said, "I'm surprised to tell you, but you did actually pass. So we've decided to invite you to join the Victorian Police." And he said, "I think you should, you know, come in. The next entrance intake is about 3 months." I said, "Well, I'm ready now. I've got a suitcase in hand. I'm ready to move." I said, "By the way, where did I get?" He said, "You come second to a girl." I said, "What?" And in those days, I used to be, you know, Manly, you know, stuff. But I said, what? I can't believe that. And he said, no, you did. You come second to a lady. And she got invited, and we're going to invite you too. And I said, all right, well, thank you very much, but I'm not going to be ready because in 3 months' time I'll be in New Zealand. And I went there. So, and then I went down to the just where you work, actually, not far from where you live. I went to the police headquarters there. And I said, I walked in there, you know, swaggering in, said, hi, guys, I'd like to apply for a job. And I said, are you a bloody Australian? And I said, yes. And I said, sorry. They wouldn't let me in because I was Australian. Now I thank God I didn't get in. Oh, my God, it was a hard job. But
the old saying, it's like when you immigrate out of New Zealand, if you're an intelligent person and you go to Australia, you raise the IQ of both countries. It works both ways.
Yeah. I've heard that too, yeah. So, yeah, New Zealand's very nice. I like, you know, I married a New Zealand girl. I'm very pleased and all my children were born in New Zealand. Mm. So, not that they live there anymore, but they're all there. Actually, one does live there.
Yeah, well, New Zealand's kind of like Waiheke Island, where I grew up. It's a nice place to visit on the weekends, but if you're stuck here, oh, God, do you turn into a loser.
I used to
No offense to all the other New Zealanders who don't frickin' travel or do anything outside of this frickin' country and sit in small towns for your entire life working at a gas station. No offense to you.
Well, I like to. Are you saying people in Waiheke Island are pretty strange? I like Waiheke. I used to fly into Waiheke when I was doing my flight training out of Ardmore and other places in New Zealand when I was learning to fly Cessnas and so forth. I love
Try being a teenager there, bro. Try being a teenager there. That's well, all you I could always say.
You could always take the boat to Auckland or somewhere, couldn't you? And
go right. For like $50 now that they're charging for a return ticket, and that's if you're a child or goodness knows what. It's like I remember when I was just after I got my conviction for selling weed when I was like 19 down in Dunedin or whatever. Only job I could really find was a labouring job down the kind of like the viaduct, you know, Auckland, maybe like a 10-minute walk from the ferry. And it started at like 7 o'clock in the morning every day. So it meant I have to catch the ferry at 5:30 in the morning every morning and get home at about 9 o'clock at night. So I got about maybe 2 hours to myself before I had to go to bed and then get up and do it all over again. And at the end of the week, with ferry charges, after doing 50 hours work, I'd wind up with $150 in the hand.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. So no wonder you were bitter and twisted as a teenager.
No. This is after I finished kind of, you know, my first year of university. It was in my when I was 20. And during a teenager, just doing high school at Waiheke, man, it's just, I don't know, maybe that's just high school in general, when you realise that all of the people that you're hanging around with, you wouldn't actually ordinarily want to hang around with, but you're just doing it because you don't want to be alone, and you're all talking, losers, and you never see them afterwards.
And you're talking about the teachers as well.
I would say so. I mean, yeah. It's just kind of like...
I hated school. I went to school in Australia, and let me tell you, it was the worst time of my life. I was bullied. It was just a shocking. I've discovered that a quarter of all children going to school have the same, result, have the same effect. It has the same effect on them. I'm a great proponent now of homeschooling. And if I had my way, my grandchildren would be homeschooled, but my children think I'm very weird by wanting that or would like that to happen. I think homeschooling is the only way. I think schools, in my opinion, are just bully pits. They're just breeding grounds for bullies. And I'm talking about teachers as well as students. I really had a bad time when I was at school. I was voted most likely to fail in life at would you believe, when I left the class. And I felt like a failure, and I was a failure because of the fact that it was just a horrible, horrible scenario. I now realise it wasn't me that was the problem. It was the stupid school system that was the problem. But it took me 40 years.
You failed at being a loser, you failed at being stupid, and you failed at being a slave. You unsuccessful bastard, you.
I haven't been employable for about 20 years as a result.
But, I've been employable for 6 years, you know.
I can see that. I can see why. You're a rebel. Yeah.
Well, it's just like I can think, you know, and it's like when you're working for somebody, the last thing they want you to do is think, you know, because they want you to just do, you know, don't think, don't worry, don't concern yourself, don't suggest things to the boss and so on and so forth of ways to improve the company, because you get real pissed off with you and say, it's my company, my ideas, I don't want any other people's ideas in here. I have the monopoly on all domination and creativity. We're coming to break, and we'll be right back after that one. Ladies and gentlemen, do not go anywhere. Divided we fall. Unity, please don't desert me. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Graham, what's your surname, bro? I forget after all these years.
Graham Kelly.
Graham Kelly, that's the one.
That's right.
I'm sorry, man. Like, I'm really kind of not that onto it today because, like, last night I was doing a big public meeting sort of thing, and I've started to notice that if you're there for 2 and a bit hours-ish, and you haven't got any water on you, being in a room with so many other, like, I think there must have been thousands of people there, maybe 5,000 or 6,000 at this public meeting, and you get really badly dehydrated, man. And then when you're up, late trying to, you know, import the footage and everything like that, and go to sleep, oh mate, just brain just gets scrambled. On top of that. That I did three protests in 3 days, as well as doing 3 shows on those 3 days as well, and getting all the videos finished. Yeah. Well, you know, it was like putting up a little donation thingy on my Facebook. So, you know, please, ladies and gentlemen, if you can donate to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, it's all paid for by donations. Every single thing you see here is paid for by donations, okay? And unless, of course, you know somebody else who's done 3 protests in 3 days and a public meeting and 3 shows at the same time, who's more worthy of your donation dollar, you know, go and donate to them instead. They don't exist, not in this country anyway. And I wanted to also mention that what's really frustrating for me as a proud conspiracy theorist, who believes that powerful people actually desire power, more power, you know, that kind of thing. If you're not a conspiracy theorist, apparently that just doesn't make sense to you. Look, powerful people wanting more power, that doesn't make any sense to me. It's because you're a coincidence theorist, mate. I think everything happens by sheer coincidence. You know, it's all accidental. It's all accidental, you know. And what's frustrating is that when we go to these things like the GCSB bill meeting, which is like, you know, passing the, more or less, it's the NSA taking control of the United States, New Zealand's state surveillance services, so that the United States, through the PRISM program and all of the, isn't it interesting how they call it PRISM, which rhymes with prison? I don't know. And maybe there's a Freudian slip.
Yeah.
But what really frustrates me as a conspiracy theorist is that all of the commentators on this particular topic, even though the New World Order surveillance state agenda, we've been talking about it for years and years. Some people have been talking about it for near on half a century. It is now so bleedingly obvious in your face that it's part of the New World Order agenda, and not a single fracking one of these commentators even mentions the words New World Order or tries to tie it into the global scheme of bringing out about a one world government, one world surveillance state, one world scumbaggery dark age that will last forever. None of them. People argue that, even the people who know this, they argue, maybe people just aren't ready for it. We're going to gently push them into it. It's like, no, there's not enough time for that. I mean, the only reason why the New World Order agenda is getting away with it for so freaking long is because people are too freaking afraid to expose them. Stop being afraid. Start telling the truth. Who cares if people ridicule you for it?
Yeah, I think that ridicule, if they get ridiculed, though, I mean, most people, they could tolerate being ridiculed. I think it's that they're more worried about getting a drone on their head. You know what I'm saying? Certainly Pakistan people are interested in surviving. I don't think that drones on the head is a good solution. Certainly they don't think that. But, these days... You know, it used to be a theory, this conspiracy thing that you're talking about, but now it's known and talked about. And you were talking about it, and other people in, you know, the States and various other countries are talking about it now, but they tend to think of it as if you talk about state secrets and what have you, end up being a whistleblower, or at least in that, you know, realm, and therefore you're then targeted by the serious, unfunny people. You know, when we went into Honolulu once, we got harassed by the TSA. I couldn't believe it. And I said to my wife, we're not going to go back there. You know, we used to go and live there and stay there for up to 3 months at a time. In those days, I thought I was a private individual. But I now realise that we were fully, we were self-employed, but we weren't slaves. But, yeah, subject to the system, big time. But I think all of us are subject to the system now. You can't avoid it. The good thing is for us is that the Snowdens and the Assanges of the world have made it, obvious to us that we're in that mode. And I'm happy about it from the point of view that I can deal with it. I didn't know once before, but I now know about it, you know, so... Thank God for people like Assange and Snowden. They've got bigger testicles than me, though. Let me tell you, I wouldn't be doing what they do. I don't think I'd be happy to do that. But still, the horse has bolted, and let's now change things, you know, or live our lives in such a way that we can tolerate that the horse being bolted. I think it's a good thing, actually. It's a good thing to know the reality of what's going on with governments versus the population. Because obviously the population are the victims, the people in the countries. I mean, they talk about the 99%. I think it's quite accurate. 99% of people are victims. They haven't got a clue what the heck's going on. So, the ones that do know, they're the conspiracy theorists, but it's not a theory anymore. It's actually reality. There's a conspiracy out there, and it's actually a reality.
So what I want to do is just take the meaning of the word back, you know, because a lot of people, conspiracy theorists avoid using the word conspiracy because it makes people see them as conspiracy theorists. And it's just, I just want to take the word back, yo. I want to make conspiracy and conspiracy theorist common usage and refer to conspiracy theorists highly as respected individuals who aren't frickin' brainwashed slave scum.
Like some people want to take the word gay back and use it the old way. You know, yeah, I've had a gay time. it doesn't necessarily mean a queer time. Not that there's anything wrong with queers. I've got very good friends and customers that are queer, and they admit it, and they're out of the closet, and I like them. They're good people. But having said that, you know, I mean, I don't prescribe to being gay in that way, but that's okay. I can have good friends that are gay, and that's good. I do have good friends that are gay.
It's actually a good catch net to have friends that are gay, because that way, if you ever talk about gay or something, everyone will like start instantly trying to label you homophobic and go, oh, hang on.
Uh-huh. I used to be homophobic. I used to be homophobic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I definitely used to be homophobic, but anyway, I'm not now.
Thank oh well, that was no. It was the 70s, bro. Okay, it's the decade of its own excuse. Yeah, man, you did it. You did acid, and you had sex with like seven different men's partners. It was the 70s.
Well, I never did that, but anyway, I did other things. I did other things, but not that.
I did other things.
I'm living in England at the moment, Vinny. So I think I'm catching some of that English accent. How am I going? How's my English accent going?
It's not working.
You'd never make a politician with it at all, I can tell.
I'll take that as a compliment.
You're supposed to say, oh, you're doing well.
I can be diplomatic if I want to be, you know. It's like, this is another thing that's very interesting. I had a man named Tara O'Khan, very great speaker, knows a lot about technology and waste removal and things like that. You know, I've spoken at the Monsanto March. He says he supports me and he's going to start donating, even though he doesn't agree with the kind of yelling and screaming sort of thing that I do. And what's interesting is that since that Monsanto march, I've had a spoke to Lisa Eyre, who was the leader of it, and I've stopped doing all the yelling and screaming and that kind of thing, and started, you know, dressing up in suits and things like that, and trying to look a bit more respectable and acceptable to the general slave population. And what occurred to me is that this is actually the way to get through to people. People don't respond quite as well to somebody who's, you know, angry and raging all the time. They respond to somebody who already fits into their willfully accepted paradigm, somebody who looks acceptable and speaks with, you know, reverence and calm and cool with information and stuff like that. And, you know, you have a look at these last videos that I've put up from the protests that I've been to, you see a very different Vinnie Eastwood.
Right.
And I think it's been much more effective too.
Very interesting. One of the things that I had to do is close down Gold Now digital currency exchange, gold-based currency. The reason for that is that I had to, with these new laws, I had to basically dob in my customers and tell the American government about their specific and every and each and every transaction. So, yeah, exactly. And the other problem I had to report to 16 different agencies, and they didn't have a facility where I could have a drop point. In other words, let's say Vinnie Eastwood come onto my website and bought $100 worth of gold, digital currency. If you lived in the States, or even if you didn't live in the States, but you were an American person, you were born in America, you had an American passport, I had to then report your activity to the 16 different government departments. But I had to report each and every one of your transactions to every one of those 16 departments. So it was, frankly, I couldn't afford it. I couldn't afford to run my business anymore because, you know, to toe the line and tell them, those 16 departments, that you were buying digital gold currency, how much for what your intended purchase of it was for, or a whole range of, and if I didn't do that, I would then become a target for the American / banking system. And we've been targeted for many years. We had Gold Now running for 14 years, and it was a successful business until the bank started closing my bank accounts in the 30 countries we were doing business. So, but there's always a way around that because bankers are stupid, you know, and politicians are even dumber. The end result was we kept the bank accounts in those 30 countries, but they kept continually changing the rules and changing the rules and changing the rules until eventually I can't deal with Americans, whether they live in America or whether they don't live in America. So the end result was it was half about business and we had to make a decision. Okay, and I don't want to tell any government about any of my customers. The other thing I particularly got annoyed about was one of the new rules that they had was that we had to start collecting tax in advance on their transactions. So, and this is one of the problems I had with the VAT-type taxes and GST-type taxes is that if I was in business in one of the GST or VAT countries, I had to then collect that tax and give it to the government. And they made it a law that I had to collect that money for them. So I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to be a tax collector. And, well, more specifically, I didn't want to be a tax collector and not get paid for it. You know, I've got to be honest here. If they'd paid me good money, I would have considered doing it. But, you know, because, you know, you got to put, you know, you've got to have bread on the table and you've got to keep the wolf from the door. So I tended to keep, anyway, the upshot of it is I stopped doing business with Americans. That was half my business gone. And then some big banks, the big 10 of them, there's only about 10 banks in the world that matter. And they closed some of my accounts and caused me ruction and problems. And then I had the various governments interact into my life, and I thought it's just not worth it anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. So my $500,000 a month business turned into nothing eventually. Innovative is that?
Yeah, I think that's the problem, and everybody's ranking off them. In fact, the only people who've been granted rights recently have been gay rights. Isn't that interesting? Everybody else gets their rights taken off them. We'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, at thevinnieusualshow.com.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So, yeah, final segment of the first hour with Graham Kelly, formerly of Gold Now, digital gold currency trading. And what's been happening in terms of your health has been in no small part due to your consumption of stem cells from good old StemTech, hasn't it, mate?
That's for sure, yeah. It made a big difference in my life, Vinny. A bit surprising, really. I got called by a doctor one day, and he told me about this stuff. And he said to me, look, he said, your health's going to improve by taking it. And I didn't believe him. I thought he was a bit of a snake oil salesman from New Zealand. You know what they're like in New Zealand. And anyway, he said to me, look. So, oh, hang on, Vinny, you're a New Zealander, aren't you?
Hey.
Well, you know what they're like. Anyway, he told me about the stuff, and I didn't believe him. I thought he was a bit of a nutcase, and so I avoided him for about 7 months. Anyway, after 7 months, he rang me back, and he said, are you avoiding me? I said, yes, you're a snake oil salesman. You're preying on sick people, and you should be ashamed of yourself. And he said, I'm a doctor. That's my job, to follow people who are unwell. He said, you are unwell.
That's quite funny. Oh, you're a snake oil salesman. You're preying on sick people. I'm a doctor. That's my job. The truth comes out.
Anyway, I cut a long story short. He said, I'm going to send you this stuff in the mail. I said, yeah, okay. So he sent it to me and I went on it. And amazingly, the product apparently doesn't heal anything. All it does is release your stem cells. And when your stem cells get released, your health improves. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. There's no healing in the bottle itself, per se. It's, all it does is just does one thing. It does it really well. It just releases the stem cells in your own body. And apparently they're locked up because of various reasons. People have got problems with their health because their stem cells, which is nature's intended way, or if you're a Christian-type person, it's God's intended way of healing people. And I didn't know any of this stuff. All I knew, I was a bit sick. I had a whole range of problems, and so did she, who must be obeyed. Anyway, she, after she saw my results, and she said, look, I'll try them too. So we've now, we're both on the stem cell nutrition product. And in addition to that, I've got both of my sons went on the product, and they had vast health improvements. My granddaughter had huge improvements, like stunningly effective improvements. And I've now got 1,900 customers around the world in about 30 countries. And it's 23 countries. I've got customers and distributors in those countries. And they're all, the majority of whom got their health back. So it's an amazing, amazing story. To tell you the truth, Vinny, I gave up my digital gold currency business and I'm now full-time in my stem cell nutrition business. And we've gone to the UK. We're currently in England. And let me tell you, there's 60 million sick people in this country. And I find them every day. So I'm actually out there hunting for sick people. And I find them everywhere, and we get them on stem cell nutrition, and they amazingly, because of their stem cells now being activated, they amazingly got better health. And I talk to a bunch of people every day. Most people don't believe me, but there's crazy ones, they do believe me. About one in 10 believes me, and they go on the product, and sure enough, their health improves massively. So we're having a massive impact in the UK. We've had a big impact in Australia and New Zealand. So we've left. But, that's how it works. I mean, it's just the most amazing thing. It's truth to tell, I didn't believe the doctor guy when he told me about it. I thought he was just a nutcase. I said, you've been smoking too much of that green stuff, haven't you? And he just laughed. He said, no. He said, I've got a solution.
I've only smoked enough.
So, I'm a doctor. It's my job to chase sick people. So, he was a great guy, and I like him very much. I really much appreciate him now because, him and his brother work with me and our teams of people in New Zealand, Australia, and now America and England and Ireland and Bulgaria and Pakistan. And we've got customers everywhere in India and Japan and everywhere, and they've got nothing but better health. So it's just the most amazing product. I'm quite gobsmacked about the whole thing still, even after 3 years.
Mm-hmm. And of course, no mainstream medicine company or hospital or anything like that is using this or prescribing it or anything like that, is it?
No, although having said that, I've got a local doctor in the UK. She went on the more specifically, she gave it to her husband, and he recovered from his illnesses and all of the illnesses, not just one of them. So she's said, "Look, sign me up, but I want to provide some of this stuff." So she's a doctor in the UK. Obviously, name won't be mentioned. She's one of those radicals doctors now, obviously. My husband, Ricardo, but I've got six other doctors that are customers as well in Australia. Funnily enough, they all had high blood pressure. They all don't have it now. So, I mean, it's the most amazing product I've ever seen, and certainly we're not a this is not a pharmaceutical product. It's a non-pharmaceutical product, and it's available. You just go to my website and get some, but it's available in 23 countries, but the thing of it is the product itself doesn't heal anything. I've got to reiterate this because it doesn't heal anything. All it does is it causes your own stem cells to be released in your own body, and that then in turn, all stem cells are designed as master cells. That's what they are. And what they do is they run around the body and they fix things. They fix your everything that's wrong. The only thing it doesn't fix, as far as I can ascertain, is teeth. So it doesn't. Sadly, I had a $5,000 dentist bill recently. But, you know, it doesn't fix teeth, but it fixes everything else. And my wife.
What about stupidity? Does have you given it to somebody who's an idiot and then they actually become smarter as a result?
I noticed you say that with a grin on your face. We actually had a guy in Australia, in Sydney, who was mentally retarded. I won't mention his name, but he's a nice guy. He's been a friend of me. He's been buying digital currency from me for years. And he rang up one day, and he's slightly mentally retarded. He's not vast. He can drive a car, so he's not, you know, stupid per se, but he's certainly mentally slightly not quite the full quid, I think we would say. He's a lovely, lovely guy. I really like him, and I've been friends for years, and he's been a clever years in the digital gold currency business. Anyway, one day he rang up and he said to me, he got talking to me, and I told him about this stuff. He said, Graham, you're looking younger. One of the other effects of stem cells is once your ailments go away, you start, apparently the stem cells start rejuvenating you, and much to my amazement and shock. So he noticed that because he knew me for many years, and he said, "Graham, you're changing. You're looking. What's happened?" I lost a lot of weight. I lost 70 pounds without dieting or exercising by using stem cell nutrition. Anyway, so he said to me, "You've lost a lot of weight. You look really good. What's happening?" So I told him. I told him what I was doing, and he said, "Oh, I want some of that." But he was because he was mentally retarded, he was not able to work. And because he was not able to work, he was on the pension in Australia and on the government dole out, you know, the sickness dole out thing that they have. And he said, "I'll save up the money," which wasn't an expensive product. It wasn't an expensive, it's not an expensive product, but he said, "I'll save up and get a bottle." And he did. It took him a month or so, saved up the money. I think it was about $50 or something. And he rang me one day and said, "I got the money." And I forgot about the conversation, and I said, what do you want to do with it? He said, "I want some of that stuff, that stem cell stuff." I said, "All right." So I, wow, cool, I got another customer. So he went on to the product, and would you believe, and it's hard to believe, but he actually recovered from his mental retardation. That was the most amazing thing I ever seen. He actually became a normal person. He rang me one day and he said, I've got my brain back. I didn't pick up what he meant. He said, "I've got my brain back. I'm not stupid anymore." He said, "I can think now and I'm asking all the right questions." So he rang me one day and he said, "I went to the local church," and he said, "I had two girls invite me to go out with them for coffee." He said, "Do you think I should take them out at the same time?" I said, "Obviously stem cells are not working in that area." "No, don't take them out at the same time. Take them out one at a time." But because he was able to hold a conversation, he actually recovered his brain, I guess, and now he's got quite a large amount of income, or growing amount of income. He's joined me in the stem cell nutrition business because no one else would take him in the other job. So we signed him up as a distributor, and he became a director recently, and he's making good money every month, and it's growing because a lot of his people are getting results and referring back to him, and as a, because it's a multi-level marketing type organization, Vinny. So, you know, it's like Amway, but it's the same concept as Amway. You know, you talk to 10 people and get them on the product, and they talk to 10 more, and they talk to 10 more, and so on and so on. So I've got 1,900 customers now, and it's growing like Topsy. And the income's going up. But more importantly than the income, we're actually getting people well. There's about 1% of people tell me it doesn't work, but the other 99% tell me it does work, and they're very happy to be on it. So it's a bit unusual. It's a new concept. It's new technology. And,
by the way, unfortunately, we're coming to break now. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to speak to Graham about getting some stem cells for yourself, you look up the stem cell nutrition on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Graham Kelly, thank you very much for coming on the show, and we'll see you after the break, ladies and gentlemen.